Hello and welcome to the Clydesdale Chronicle, where we focus on preserving the stories of the past, addressing the issues of today, and generating ideas for the future. Enjoy. Oh, you missed her. Come on now.
He didn't.
She's going to need to get him fixed again.
Just liked having the hot vet come, huh?
Yeah.
You want me to do it?
Yep.
Okay. Well, welcome back to the Clydesdale Chronicle. Tonight we're joined by two, I would say, newer members to the Clydesdale breed. They're not new, but newer, I would say, compared to some of the people we've interviewed. So tonight we're sitting down with Chris and Michelle Garrett, and they have A1 Transmission Clydesdales. Let's please introduce yourselves and tell us kind of where are you from? We'll start there.
Go ahead.
Royston, Georgia.
So did you grow up in Royston?
No. Grew up in England.
What brought you to Royston?
Land. Well, we were tired of boarding the horses and it was getting too expensive, so we needed to buy a farm.
Okay.
So that's what got us in Royston.
Okay, gotcha. Chris, where'd you grow up?
Beaufort area, Beaufort, Georgia.
Okay. Yeah. So you're originally from the state. Gotcha. So did either of you grow up with like an horse background?
Anything agriculture?
Not this one.
Tractor, plow, horse, nothing. Cow, nothing?
Nothing. Just all her doing.
Did you just wake up one day and say, I want a Clydesdale?
Well, I grew up fox hunting in England.
So you had some horse background.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gotcha. So how did you find the Clydesdale horse? What brought you to the Clydesdale horse?
I love the draft breed, and I love the Clyde. So he Googled one day, and we met Mark and Shannon, and then I bought my first Clyde, and then I bought another Clyde from Mark and Shannon, and then another Clyde from Mark and Shannon, and then I bought more Clydes from Canada, and that's how I met Gordon and Tim Auckland. And then
now you've got how many?
Yeah. Nine.
I was trying to do the math. She's like, a Clyde and then another Clyde.
So let's go back to the first ones you bought. What did you buy?
That was Jim.
Jim.
Okay.
And so you bought a gelding?
No.
A mare.
A mare.
She went through the national Clydesdale sale. I think Alabox brought her through. It was when the sale was in Howe.
Okay.
And Andrew was actually going to go just start working for Mark and Shannon, I think.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they bought that mare from Alabox, and then you guys ended up with her.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, and then the second one you bought, that was you didn't have the easiest start because Jem had a little bit of the soundness issues.
Yep. Oh, jeez. Yeah. Jem is, she is the hardest keeper.
Yes.
Oh.
I can't keep weight on her. She
can't
foundered
be without,
as a yearling, and then the Allenbox brought her back. So she has to be in like shoes and pads.
She foundered on the fronts, yeah. Mm-hmm. So she was kind of a challenge. And then the second one you got from Martin's was Tilly.
Mm-hmm.
And she was bred.
But we didn't know that.
Yeah.
Right.
And she was even vet checked.
And you were boarding her.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day you got
a phone call first thing in the morning getting ready to go to work. There's something hanging out of your horse. You need to get to the farm as quick as possible.
This is a horse boarding stable?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so I get over there and they're like, well, the vet's there. And the vet's like, well, the baby, you know, it's gone. There's nothing we can do, you know, as far as that. But the thing we've got to do now is we've got to figure out what we're going to do with the horse.
Yeah.
She's like, we can go back here and I can give her a shot and we can put her down. And I'm like, what the heck? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not putting her down.
No.
That's off the table.
Yeah.
So we loaded her up, took her to UGA, spent $50. Yeah. Yeah. Had the baby cut out. She had a C-section. They had to put the ice boots on her. It was just crazy.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to kind of point out that your first two purchases weren't like
easy
the
at
best.
All.
Yeah. No, not the best experiences.
No.
And you still still yeah. wanted to keep going.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Most people would have been like, okay, let's yeah. check out this.
This isn't for me. Right.
But you guys were committed to the breed and you loved the breed and yeah, you wanted to
would
keep
never
going.
Give up. Yeah. And most people like with Jem, most people would have put her down. She would have been yeah. that would have been they would have written her off.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a lot.
Yeah.
And still to this day, like I still would never give up on her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was two winters ago. She got down to, she went from, I don't know, close to 1850. She got down to 1200 pounds.
And you couldn't know vets could figure out what
no
was
vet
going
could
on.
Figure out what was wrong. I even took her in and.
So, and then you
biopsy
know,
yard. They yeah. wanted a biopsy from front to back. And I said, no, but we went in and did all kinds of other stuff.
You're ignorant to this vet thing. Like they're like, oh, we're going to send you to UGA and they're going to biopsy this and biopsy that.
Yeah.
You know, now I've done been through all that and I'm like, nah, that's not what we're going to do.
So yeah.
What you're going to determine here is what's going to either make or break her. So you need to figure something out now because we're not going down that $10,000 road again.
No, yeah. But when you first get into it, you're just like,
you don't know any better.
Yeah, and it's like you just want your pet fixed.
And
yeah.
that's where, you know, like I used to call Chip Lawrence and get advice from him before we met you on the personal level, like yeah. we know you now. And Chip would be like, do this, this, and this, because we didn't have anybody else, you know,
yeah,
really to call. I mean, we could call Shannon, but.
Well, they were busy with their own
yeah,
stuff.
They got yeah. Their own yeah. stuff
when they had,
on.
You know, 45 or 50 horses, you yeah. can't keep calling them.
No,
that's
no.
not fair.
So how'd you two meet?
Who?
You two.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
It's the classic question for couples.
Yeah.
So I had a truck and the drive shaft kept snapping out of it.
Okay.
I would be doing 50 down the road and the drive shaft would snap out and shoot out the back. And I would have to get out of the truck, throw it in the back of the truck. Put it in too high and drive, and then I would have to find a shop to fix it. So I called him, and I'm like, I just called this shop, and I'm like, hey, something, you know, my drive shaft, whatever.
No, and so, what you said was, do you do rear end?
And he said.
And you were like, hell yeah.
And he said, I do rear ends. You called the right guy. So I get down there to the shop, and then this guy that worked for him, his name was Eddie. And what was that trick that Eddie did? Oh. The Chester Cheetah thing?
Yeah.
Tell him.
Oh, well.
Lean into the mic, Chris.
Oh, yeah. He used to say, it's not easy to be cheesy. So I had to do that on her.
Oh,
yeah. That won her over.
That was the move.
That was the move.
It's funny because
were you impressed?
No.
we've interviewed a lot of couples, and we've always kind of asked, you know, like her parents had a weird move that wrangled her mom, and so it was just kind of weird. So it's kind of crazy to hear the
nobody in the horse industry has it been love at first sight.
Not that
oh,
we've interviewed
no.
yet.
Not yet.
No, because he tried to hook me up with his best friend.
Oh, you didn't even want her.
No. You know, he was like, oh, no, you, Jeff. And I'm like, what?
I was trying to save myself from having 10 Clydesdales.
Yeah, that failed.
Miserably.
So let's touch on A1 Transmission Clydesdale. So your business is diesel truck transmissions.
Yes, sir.
So say, because you've done work for other people in the draft horse industry, mm-hmm. So say I need a new transmission in my truck. How does that all work?
You call us. We give you a price. You agree to it. You drop your truck off, and
or ship
we
it
put
in.
A transmission in. We do a lot of internet deal orders for different dealers we have throughout the country.
Mm-hmm.
They will, you know, email us, call us, whatever, send over a purchase order, order it on our website, and we'll build a transmission and send it to them.
So ships on a crate.
Ships
right
on
to their
a crate,
right to the guy that's doing the service work.
Or we can install it at our location. Either way.
Very cool.
Comes to your front door.
So how long have you been doing that?
We've been doing that about 15 years.
Okay.
Yeah. We've been doing transmissions for 25 years.
Okay. Yeah. And that's based right out of Royston as well.
Yeah, that's right out of Royston.
Okay. Very cool. So that's what supports
the
wonderful hobby of the Clydesdale horse. Yep.
Well,
that you're just addicted to.
So at first it was her thing, and then I kind of fell in love with them after that. You know, we started, you know, we got the horses, then we got cows, we got got donkeys, and you know, it's just crazy. Snowballed from there.
Yeah.
So where do you want to go with the horses? Like, you've got a couple. I've seen you went to a couple shows. You bought a few more. What's your goal? Where are you?
What's
aspiring?
The 2025 goal?
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, we're going to the world.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Said it with such confidence.
Well, I just wanted to have some really nice gelding. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If we had, you know, we got a blessed with the opportunity to buy a lad from Gordon.
Yep.
And then I said, let's get something to match him. And then you helped us with getting Diamond. And then we got, you know, a couple more. And that was our thing. I said, let's get some really badass horses.
Yeah.
And either do a two or a four.
Yeah.
And we're sitting here at the sale with a lot of good geldings going to be going through on Saturday. And I hear there's a spot or two maybe sitting in a truck waiting for them to go home.
There's a donation where you can actually write off. This Manny Raber is donating a free trip to a 500-mile radius in the United States of America, and that's tax-deductible.
It's a good thing we've already got ours.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you never know.
You can buy
something.
Number two.
But you know what? I think my other most favorite thing is that I have is my wagon. I have a Chip Lawrence wagon.
You guys got
original Chip Lawrence?
Bargain on that, yeah.
Or did it come from somebody else?
It wasn't. They bought it from Tim Auckland.
Tim Auckland.
Yeah. Okay.
But it was one of his original, like, first builds in 1989.
Yeah.
Okay, so who's all owned that wagon?
I don't know. Chip's known a couple of them, but I can't remember it off the top of my head.
So this 1989, it's probably had a few owners.
That was
a good year. But it was, like...
It was a good year. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, my God.
You and Taylor Swift.
Oh, shit. Yeah, she's way more successful than I am.
Whatever. She's been around the map.
You're saying Kale hasn't?
No. But no, like, I think Tim told me that, like, it was a group of patrons that had it, and I think...
Isn't it in PA, I think?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. But I think that that they had it, and I think it only was driven maybe two times with them. And I think a set of Clydes had it, but it was just driven one time with the Clydes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then... I don't think Tim ever hooked it.
I think he had it pretty much stored most of the time.
It was stored for like 5 or 6 years, and I got it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the paint is actually really nice.
For the age of the wagon, yeah. It's in really great shape, yeah. And it was cool this year. We got to bust out your wagon in your local town parade.
Yeah.
Finally advertising your business.
Right. Yes.
And Michelle got to drive her team of horses that... just got that year.
Yeah. Diamond and Dexter
in the Christmas parade.
Mm-hmm. And they did spectacular.
Yeah.
Dexter, I only had 2 weeks, and I'm like,
guess we're going.
You're either going to do good or not.
We drove a couple teams at home, and I was like, I think those two are actually going to be the best
together.
And I put a couple new nails in Dexter's hind feet, and
let me tell you something. Kale is amazing. He's like the master of everything. Don't let him.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we know.
Fair your service.
No, I am not. I did scrap a shoe on for Andrew at Wisconsin, too, and got thrown to the ground a couple times. And I think it stayed on all the way through the national show.
It did.
Yeah. I'm not going to brag.
I'm not going to brag. You know, when the original farrier puts the shoe on and the horse loses the shoe walking to the barn, then we have to put the shoe back on in order for it to go back in the championships.
Yeah. We were waiting on Dustin, and I was like, I don't think he's going to make it here in time.
That's a little nerve-wracking.
Yeah. So
that whole show was nerve-wracking.
That was a nuts schedule. But you had a great, great team of people, and it actually was kind of fun.
Just word for the wise. Like, I know you want to expand and everything, but 2 sixes is not the way to go.
No.
Well, then they had 2 sixes, and then they one day got rained out, so then the 2 days of classes were in one evening.
Oh, my God.
So I drove down to help him because I didn't go to help Chip at Ohio, so I made a deal with Andrew. He's like, well, you know, I'll make a deal with you on shoeing if you come down and help. So we went down there, and it was actually...
It was Kayla and I and Shelby...
And your dad.
And my dad in the barn. And we had 6, the open 6, sent Andrew and Sarah down, hooked the six mares. Andrew and Sarah went just from one wagon, one wagon to the next wagon. We took that six down to a four. They came back, flipped down the next wagon. We took that one down. But they flopped wagons again. I think we did probably six hitch classes.
Yeah.
That day.
And they weren't waiting on us.
No, we were not the ones they were waiting on.
Yeah.
See, I love like when I went to Boone, that was the first time I'd ever seen him do that. Like when we show Perry, it's never like that.
Well, Perry's just a smaller. There's just not a lot of. There's all a ton of riding classes. They just don't have a ton of hitches. But it's
so and it should go really fast and it goes really slow.
Yeah. But some of that is that southern laid back kind of. It is a different it's a different feeling in the south than it is in the Midwest. But I think it's kind of a nice relaxing feeling. Yeah. Than,
it is.
People like even in your area, you guys, you've taken me out when I've been down there, and you go to town, and people are interested in your horses. I live in a town of 2,500 people. I can go to the gas station. I don't have that same rapport with the locals that you guys do.
Yeah.
And maybe that's because you have a business in town too. But it seems like people in your town are actually interested in what you're doing.
How big is your town?
Oh, It's a little town.
You got a college. It is not a little town.
Like, well, it's Emmanuel, but it's not. It is a little town.
Like, what's your population?
Oh, I would have to look it up. It's.
Isn't it on a sign on your way into town?
No.
No, we don't have that.
Well, they're just looking at the liquor store.
Yeah.
How many liquor stores do you have? Let's like.
Well, we just. It used to be a dry town. You used to have to go. Oh. You used to have to drive like 30 minutes.
And now they go on right at the corner. Going out of town.
Yeah.
It is.
Now we have that. And but wow. I was quite amused by going to Walmart last night here in town.
It's interesting.
No, she had Snapchats of the liquor section.
I snapped and I sent it to Kale and I'm like, they have Patron.
At Walmart.
Don Julio.
By then they have to go to a liquor store to get any of that.
Yeah. And, oh, wow.
By
us,
we can go to a Quick Trip. And the whole section.
Like every gas station has its own like liquor cave in it.
No.
Welcome to Wisconsin.
Right.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. But I would have thought Illinois would have had a liquor stores, but we'll try to get back to the horses. So what's your favorite horse you guys have had? You've nine now. You've had had some horses. What's your favorite horse? What's the most impactful horse that you've had?
Oh.
We'll do that. Two separate. What's your most impactful that you've learned maybe something from?
I've learned the very, very most from Jem.
Okay.
And I've learned from her what I never want from another horse.
Yeah.
And that is like, I've learned from like looking at her feet, looking like body structure wise, like the fine bone. I don't want fine bone. I want a big butt. Like I know what I want.
Yep.
And Boulder Bluff all the way is that body type.
Yep.
You've had a lot of success with getting some of those horses out of there. And they do. They're bred. They're a little bit rangier.
They're hardier. Just a hardier horse.
Yeah.
Yes. And they have great feet.
So
yeah.
I've had really good luck with feet.
What one's your favorite one?
Oh,
if you could only take one, what one would you take?
I could only take one.
She's looking at you like, Kale, I'm taking two.
I know. It's a hard question for you. I
it's not a hard question. It would be Laddie.
Yeah.
And Laddie is, he gives me a run for my money and I love it. I thrive from that. But I just need him fixed to where I can drive him a little bit further to when his little timer goes off in his head.
Yeah.
He does. He really does have a timer. Like, Kale and I, Josh and I were line driving him.
Josh, just for the listeners, Josh is an employee of Chris's, works at the transmission shop, but he's got some draft horse background, grew up with some Belgians. So he helps Chris and Michelle a lot at home. And
the farm.
Yeah, he's a really good guy.
Right.
But that's when she's saying Josh, that's who she's referring to.
Yes.
Shout out Josh.
Yes. I call him. He's my boo. But so he will come over and help me and we will line drive Laddie. And so Kale was standing up and he was, standing up on the sidewalk, whatever. And I look back at Kale and I'm like, he's being so good. Maybe he's grown up on me. You know, like we were back from Perry. Everything was good. He's doing great. I was like, maybe he's grown up. And I turn back around to look at Josh, and Josh looks at me, and I'm like, I don't know. We go to turn back around, and all of a sudden, Laddie starts throwing his head, and it's on. From there on, he starts throwing his head, and before you know it, we're sideways skiing down the driveway. It's over. Mm-hmm. His timer has gone off in his head, and it's that we're it's on.
He does great until you're headed, like, if he knows you're headed back, and then it's like, I want to get back, and then there's
like
just,
right now.
And then it's just numb in the mouth, and you can't check him tight enough for him to. He just bows into the bit, and his mouth goes numb, and it's just, it's a war all the way back.
Mm-hmm.
Super pretty horse. And speaking of that horse, he was the champion All-American gelding of 2024. So congratulations on that.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
Picked a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Chris.
Thanks to Gordon on that one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because he could have, you know.
He could have, yeah, he sold him to you for a good price.
And yes, he, and he could have gone through the sale, and that guy
up
north could have got him, and I'm just really happy I got him.
He's a pretty horse.
He's my buddy.
I don't know what's going on with your mic.
I don't know. We got to be right into it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm closer to mine than you are.
Yeah, I don't know. So what's your favorite horse, and what's the most impactful horse? What horse won you over to the breed?
It was all of them. It wasn't just one. Like, when we got Laddie, I was like, he's a badass. You know what I mean? Like, he's a presence. I'm like, we need to get a match to him. And you saw how that went.
You got some matches.
We got three to them now.
Yeah. So,
Oops.
Yeah, I like that the big bone structure, 18 plus hands, and they make a presence.
Yeah.
They're badass to watch.
Yeah.
It's a lot of power.
It is. It is.
But and they're very kind.
Yeah.
Every one of them is very kind. And when our vets come out, they're just like,
they tell us we're their favorite farm to go to, at bar none. Is ours.
And
are
I'm
so
like, oh, you're
well
just
behaved.
Saying that. And they're like, no.
But you guys, like, they're your pets, mm-hmm. but they still have manners. Like, you're not afraid to, like, I've seen Michelle, bust their ass.
Right.
When they got it coming. So it's not like they're just, you know, walking all over you, but the one just is a little bit barn sour. But no, you're not scared to beat up on them if they got it coming.
Yeah. They're not pets.
No. Mm-hmm.
Well,
they're too big to be
pets.
You
love them, but they still
have to respect you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
I mean, they're not little by all means. I mean, 2,000 plus pounds.
They will hurt you.
They will hurt you.
I would ask you what's your favorite show, but you've shown it one.
Yeah, only one show. Right.
And this year you're going to miss Georgia to go
to the world
show at the same time. So,
any plans to pick up any more shows?
No, that's probably it. I mean, showing, if I could tell everybody something in this industry, showing needs to be more affordable because it's very.
You're in an area where there's not a lot of shows that are close by. Like, say you want to go to Shipshawana. That's a 12-hour trip to Shipshawana.
It's a poke.
Well, we need to get more stuff going down south, you know, to where there's some more shows that aren't as expensive to go to by.
Well, I think not even just that. It's not just for a six.
Yeah.
I think if you could get, like, the West has done really well where they've gotten shows, and that's more based on the six, but they've gotten a ton of shows out in the West. I think if we could get some shows that would start down in the South, and it wouldn't be that expensive. But for you guys, I know you look at it, and you rightfully so, but you look at it like you're putting shoes on, you're getting them prepped, you're getting them fit, and it's to go to one show. But say there'd be a show 2 or 3 weeks later, you wouldn't. They're already fit. Yeah. Right. So I get where, that one show looks like stupid freaking expensive. Yes. But if you had 2 or 3 that were kind of in a similar time frame, it wouldn't feel that bad. But for you, otherwise, it's 2 days off of work to get to Shipshawana and back, and then the time of the show, and then you're gone from work for a solid week.
Yeah.
So, and then you got to pay someone to take care of the stuff that you left at home. Yeah.
Yep.
So.
And then you probably have to pay somebody to take care of the business while you're gone.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then he sits on the phone here because he's worried about paying for what you're spending showing. So I get it, but.
So Perry's such a nice facility. I just wish he could get more there.
The best facility I've been to. Like, it's incredible.
Yeah.
We've talked about it. I think if we could ever have an all three breed world show, that's the place to have it. They have three rings that are all the same size. And then they have
it's a clean, incredible facility.
And then they have enough stalls to house 4,400.
Oh my gosh.
Like, yeah.
So you'd have plenty of stalls, but you could have three independent world shows, and then the evenings you could have a best of breed for everything. So
yeah.
It would be a cool thing. I know it's far south, but I don't know of any other facility besides like the World Equestrian Center
like
that could
host it. When Chip did the
Live Free.
Yeah. We had 24 hitches there.
I think there's 23 sixes or something like that. Yeah.
And that was just absolutely phenomenal to see there.
Yeah.
That was during COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was super cool.
Yeah, I can't imagine putting on shoes for one show.
I've done it.
All that work.
I've done it, but for a couple horses.
Oh, I mean, you're 2 days loading.
Yeah.
You're 2 days prepping to load before you leave. You're 2 days loading. You're however many days there, however many days back.
And see, for me, I'm already, like, I'll start shoeing here soon.
You'll put plates on.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because you pulled shoes this year to let everything have a
little rest. But I'll reuse those shoes.
Yep.
You know, because those shoes are still good. So I'll reuse those shoes, but I have to start prepping now because of all the red clay and the mud and everything else.
Even, you get the heat, so you got to start bringing them in during the day so they don't, their coats don't fade.
Yep.
Yeah. So what's the goal for the world show? You're planning on bringing four geldings?
Yeah, just be here.
With
be
four.
A show.
Have a good show.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh.
Yes.
He's going to be here. Yes. She's going to show.
Yeah. Just be here and have a good show. That's the goal.
And have a good time and be proud of your exhibit.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That's all.
So for sure, four.
Okay.
Is my goal.
Kind of leaving that open-ended again.
I know. It's because of the two they're going to buy on Saturday.
Oh, shit.
No.
So do you guys enjoy going to the shows more, or is the parade more?
I love to do those shows.
Do you?
Yeah. Because I gained so much knowledge from working with Kale and then like having Shelby help me, you know, because they both have a different perspective.
Yes.
So I learned from both.
I think your parade is cool. Like I told you the first year.
I like doing the parade too.
The local stuff because local stuff, I mean, it's not, I guess it's coming from an, you know, expense standpoint where it's not a big deal.
No, but you see the people like you're up close when they're like,
Oh my god, that's the best thing ever.
Yeah.
You know?
So you're seeing them appreciate it. And at a show, you're so focused on the drive, you don't really see the awe in people's faces.
Well, right? I can also see your perspective from owning a business. If you own a business and the horses are representing your business, you're gonna get more out of your local engagement than you're gonna get out of driving around and showing.
Yeah.
Right.
That's not going to mean as much to your community and connecting that to your business.
Right. But it's cool. Like their area for the Christmas parade. Like we've done Christmas parades. And I said, I told my parents, I said, I'm never wasting my time doing that again because by us, no one gives a shit.
And we make like the front page of the paper. And I'm like, and I told Kale, I'm like, are we going to make the front page this year?
I don't know how you didn't this year.
Because they made it last year. You can't keep putting the same person.
Well, and I don't know what they put on the front page this year. I don't know.
Something
stupid.
Yeah.
It wasn't us, so it was something.
Yeah. Well, no, it was something real bogus. And then they put
the display in the whole parade. And
do you actually get an award? Like, there's some Christmas parades where they'll give awards, like the best exhibit.
They probably did for like wacky hair or something.
Speaking of parades, it was the weirdest thing I heard when I was down at your place. You guys do a redneck parade.
Oh my god, it's so much fun.
So you don't take the horses through that one?
No, I have a big Can-Am.
Michelle's got a souped up buggy it's a jacked up, you can damn near walk under it.
It's huge.
Rims and tires.
It's huge.
What are some of the things you throw at the redneck parade?
Could do
ramen noodles, moon pies, oatmeal cream pies,
toothbrushes.
Yeah.
We threw Vienna sausage.
Oh my god,
beanie weenies
this year.
I like the idea of toothbrushes though, with the toothpaste.
Yeah, and then this year we all have people like throw beer at us, you know, like for the guys. They're like, let us get a beer. And people will have their pet chickens out there with them
on leashes.
Yeah, on leashes. They'll have their crock pots out there with like little fires going.
Oh my gosh.
I've never heard of that.
Oh yeah. Dude. Yeah.
It is awesome.
It's even on like, what is it, YouTube or something? Yeah. People record the whole thing.
The South is also the first place I heard of a pear salad. Fruit salad made with mayonnaise. Never heard that.
Oh, my grandma used to make one.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Oh, God.
Fruit salad with grapes.
The look on Kale's face.
It's like grapes and apples and marshmallows with mayonnaise and sugar dressing.
See, oh, there you go.
Is it the same thing?
Oh, Kale's face.
Boom.
If everybody could see
where
it.
Where have you been?
Chris and Michelle's neighbor came over one day when I was down there, and he's talking about this restaurant Kenneth. Shout out Kenneth. That sold out. That would sell out of this pear salad. And I was like, what's a pear salad? Well, it's a halved pear, and then they put a dollop of mayonnaise and then a cherry on top. And I'm thinking, who the fuck would pose that a salad? And who the fuck would buy that?
Obviously, a lot of people.
It sells out. Sells out every time, he said. So
Yeah.
I've learned a lot.
You forgot the coconut.
Oh,
you
yeah.
do realize. Yeah. You do realize that the Minnesota State Fair, that would be on a stick.
Oh, yeah, my God.
Well, Wisconsin did fried butter one year.
What?
Yeah.
How did it even fry?
You freeze it.
Oh, I didn't even think about
and
it.
You fry it, and then you bite into it, and it just grease everywhere.
Shoots in the back of your throat. Sorry.
You're an idiot.
That was... I'm sure my face is red on that one.
Yeah, just a little bit. Shit.
So do you have any future goals? Is there you have a goal of hooking the four? You got a goal of ever doing a six? You just
want to see. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just kind of let's see what the business portrays and what you guys want to kind of keep doing. You're going to add on to the barn, maybe?
Yes, we're going to add on to the
barn this winter.
Okay. And you also have donkeys.
Miniature donkeys, yes.
Miniature horses.
A miniature pony, a mini mule.
Our Highlands.
Highland
cat. And we still have the little white one that you were there for.
Oh, yeah, but she's like a
stink. She's teeny tiny.
Like, you could sell her for a buco bucks.
And her little horns are not growing, you know, like their normal Highland. They're growing backwards.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and she'll rub her head on the water tank and she'll flip it over. I don't know what she's doing.
So how was it to begin, like, being newer to the industry? How was it coming into the association? Just
was it welcoming?
Not really.
No?
No.
I mean,
not until we got pretty much involved with you.
And Chip.
Yeah.
You kind of made a connection. Chip was doing your shoeing.
Yeah, Chip was our buddy. I mean, it's just hard for him to break away to get down here.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to. I'm the type of person, and she is too, to where we don't want to put somebody out. We don't want to pester them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it, you know, we didn't have anybody around us to help us with anything because there's no draft horse down south.
So, yeah.
I mean, you're kind of on your own.
Yeah. But Chip was doing your shoeing. He asked you to come to the Live Free show. I think that's kind of when I met you guys.
Yeah, that's kind of where we hooked up.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no, it is. I think sometimes, when you're in it, you feel like you're welcoming, but I think we've kind of had these in other podcasts.
Yeah, I just, we've talked, I've been in this forever, so, I have no idea what it would be like to be somebody new to break in, you know? Like, when people come up,
learn a lot as you go.
Yeah, like, it
you're constantly learning.
And it's hard to teach you everything.
Yeah, and people can never say, "Oh, well, I know everything." No, you don't.
No, never.
No.
And if you say that, you're madly mistaken.
Your first couple of horses, you don't even know what you're looking at. You just get them. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. You could like their head or I think it's pretty, and you buy it. And then you start, like just with Jem, you learned, okay, this is what I don't want now.
Ever again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But you learned something from that.
I did.
Right. But I think, yes, as an industry, I think we need to, we've said this before, we think we need to be a little bit more, and I think we've talked about a mentorship program or somebody, but I think it needs to be a group of people that kind of say, hey, you're welcome in. We are not selling you anything. What are you looking to do with it? You want a horse? How can we kind of help you find that?
Here's my number. Call me if you need any help.
Yeah.
At least that.
Because you get a lot down in the South, or you get some place like farriers are getting hard to find. And it's like a light horse guy.
There is not one farrier down there. I mean,
these people that
my farrier drives 2.5 hours one way.
The quarter horse people.
Oh, they can ruin your draft horse foot.
And that's what you don't get initially. You don't get, hey, Somebody can really ruin your horse or cripple your horse.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And that almost happened to my gem mare. They put like a, oh, I don't even know what kind of, they.
Like
they,
a heart bar.
Like a heart bar type shoe.
Then and, they start cutting the foot like a quarter horse. You need
Yeah.
I mean, they took her. They took her from like a size 9.5 foot and she was almost down to a size 7 foot. And then
she couldn't walk on the hard bar shoe.
They couldn't walk on the hard. And then her foot was black. Her foot
was be red, blood red.
Yeah.
On her hoof.
I mean, she was like, she was, and even when we loaded her up and took her over there and Chip, it was Chip and James that day. And I remember pulling her off the trailer and I remember turning around and looking at Chip and James and Chip looked at me and he said, he pulled the shoes off and they put different shoes on her. And he said, I just hope that her foot will grow back because you might lose her.
Yeah.
That was it.
But you guys put in a ton of time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
Patience.
Oh, my God. Jello. Lots of jello. Yeah. Lots of work.
Yeah. That's cool, though. Yeah. It takes a lot of
dedication.
Yeah,
it does.
A lot of. It does. I mean,
yeah.
Oh yeah.
It's late nights, early mornings.
It's like before we came here, we're up at midnight wrapping a foot.
Yeah, got a little abscess going on. Yeah,
abscess going on. So we're midnight.
It was definitely little. It was little at one time, and now it's blowing out of the top.
Yeah,
and the bottom.
Yeah,
and the bottom.
Well, it's good when it comes out the bottom because then
I like
gravity's
it there,
gonna
yeah.
want to push it out, but when it blows at the top there, it's just like,
and God. even learning all that, you know, it would have been so nice in the beginning to have somebody to help you.
Yeah. How do we fix that though? Is it something that we can, is there, you put a call list out there of who's in different areas that can
once
help?
You join the Clydesdale Association. Hey, if you have any questions, here's some mentors, call them and they'll help you out with anything you got going on with your horse.
Or find you a person in your area that can help you.
Or, you know, offer a crash course.
Yeah.
Horse care 101.
Yeah, but I'm even thinking us as members, we have no idea when somebody new joins.
No.
Like there's nothing that says, here's your new member. Like I've been on some, you join some social media sites and they're like, hey, welcome to all our new members. And they kind of list them out.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing like that that comes up.
And
so
well, maybe
that's
even
something
know
that needs to be addressed. You know what I mean?
Like scratches.
Yeah. And everyone's got a different trick for it. And everyone thinks, but those old timers, people that have been in it for a long time, they tend to know because they've basically
they've done
tried
it for
everything.
Years. Yeah. Yes. They know what works
and
what
I can
doesn't.
Tell you, like my one mare, Tilly. Oh my God. What were we always told that Tilly had? And it wasn't scratches.
Greasy heel.
No, it was the CPL.
Oh, CPL, yeah.
And it was never CPL. And if it wasn't for Kale, let me tell you, she would have bleeding legs.
But, I mean, we should have been giving her shots of Dex.
Dectamax.
Years ago.
Dectamax, yes.
So,
and every vet will tell you, don't do that. So this, I'm not a veterinarian. None of us are on this.
Yeah.
But we know what works.
That seems to work.
And let me tell you, it works.
Yeah.
What a godsend.
Yeah.
Because you don't know how many weeks and weeks and weeks.
Oh, of scrubbing and picking sores.
And I think sometimes that's the worst thing, to add water.
Yeah.
Like, well, you've had really good luck with her with just giving them a couple big old slugs of Dectamax every couple months, and she's been pretty good.
But wonderful.
If you would have had somebody in the beginning to tell you, hey, let's try this and see what kind of response we get from it. You know how huge that would have been?
I mean, I've tried LA-200. I've tried this. I've tried, I mean, if I tell you,
everything you do is, I mean, realistically, $1,000, everything you do.
Well, we've most of us have gone through it already, so why can't we? Maybe we should do that, Christy. Maybe we can put a page on the website and just do it. Some people that would be willing, like Glenn Lewis has been a good one. His daughter just poked her head in here, but like he's been a good one to try this.
And canker is,
I
mean, come on.
Well, the best thing for that is aspirin.
Yes.
They're going to tell you to do metronidazole tabs and spend all kinds of money. But if you're consistent, you trim a little back and then pack it with aspirin and keep it dry.
And then like the copper sulfate that you put in when you vat thrush in, if you're putting pads on?
That,
pack the copper sulfate.
I've even told vets about the product you're using when you have a little white line there.
Yeah.
Because that, like, I've had vets that have had problems, and I said, well, here's what some people in Georgia are using, and I said, it's boom, incredible. Gone.
Yeah.
Because it's done a number on her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I think the biggest thing, like, you know, when you've had horses for a while, and like we've had the same vet, you have a vet who starts to lean on you a little bit more because you have more horses and have tried more things than they have.
They have, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you start getting a really good conversation with your vet to go, okay, they're thinking this, you've experimented with these things. Okay, what could we possibly have next?
Yeah.
And like, you know, that's another touchy spot right there, is getting a vet that fits you, not.
And we've been through three or four vets. Them,
you know what I mean?
And like, now you got a hot one.
Yeah. Yeah. It's easy on the eyes.
That helps when the bill comes through. You know what I mean?
He's like, I paid a lot, but she was pretty.
It was worth it.
I mean, if you're going to pay out the nose, why not be able to have some scenery?
Something to look at.
Yeah, some scenery. Sure. He said scenery.
Yeah. I just don't have that time. This episode on social media.
Someone's going to be like, which one of us looks like the giraffe, Kale?
No.
But it is hard to find one. Some
so
of them,
you've got
some
to
of
find a vet that fits you and that's willing to
work on a draft.
If you say, hey, we need to hit it with, like Chip would tell me when Jim was down, you know, when she was losing all that weight and we couldn't figure out what was going on with her. Like the vet said, hit her with a broad spectrum antibiotic and we're going to hit everything. So that's how we're going to treat her.
Yeah.
And we're going to go hot and heavy.
But that was after I told her we're not going to UGA.
Yeah,
we're they wanted to do a biopsy of all of her organs.
Yeah, we're not spending $10,000. We're not going down that road.
No,
your prognosis here is the best she's going to get. And then she says, "Well, let's hit her with a broad spectrum antibiotic." Well, why didn't you say that to start with?
Yeah, why don't we try that first? Yeah,
yeah. Why did you want me to spend $10,000?
I think some vets when they don't know, it's easier for them to just say, okay, you might get someone else's problem.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I think for them, it's an easy out.
That doesn't help you as the owner.
No.
You're like, this is, you know.
No, I'm going
like
to go spend $10,000.
Before we eat.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
Period.
Yeah.
They're not going to miss a meal. We'll miss a meal. You know what I'm getting
at. Yeah.
But, I mean, just learning that stuff was so huge because we got taken to the bank so many times when we were first in the industry with the vets. This with that the other and just having, like you said, somebody to call and run stuff by. Like Chip told me, he said, Chris, we're not doing this. If they tell you anything other than this,
don't do it.
Tell them you're done, you're not doing anything.
Yeah
And that was huge because that helped me tremendously figure out where we were going.
Well, it gives
even
you the confidence
to tell her what we were doing.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? I'm no, we're not doing that.
It helps when you're in that predicament and you got a horse that's ill and you as an owner, you want to do
the best thing. But you have to
be common sense about it.
Got to
be a limit. And if someone else is kind of saying, like, you know, keep it in mind, dude, like, you're going to spend a ton of money, like, you can't do that. That helps you make that decision, because otherwise you can't, like, I've done it.
Oh, these vets want to take you to the bank, dude.
Yeah.
They learn off you and get paid to learn off you, too.
Yeah.
And some of this stuff, I mean, a lot of us can't afford this, man. We're scraping by to just be able to do what we do already, you know?
Because
the stuff's so expensive. But that's a tremendous help, is having somebody with some knowledge to help you along the way.
So what's kept you in the breed? Is it obviously the horse you love?
Some good people.
The people.
Some good.
The people.
Really
for
good
sure.
people.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Love the horses. Love the
camaraderie.
Yeah. All of it.
Coming here. Last year was your first year at the sale.
Last year was
and
first year.
And we kind of had to talk even into
and
coming.
And he actually enjoyed it this year. And we tried to get Josh to come. And he said, I don't want to be around all those rich folks. And I said, it's not
he
like
just
that
don't
at
understand.
All.
Like, I'm poor, not rich. Yeah, he's and such I, a... We'll wait till he comes to the world show and he'll realize there's normal people that
it
show
is.
Yeah. Draft
it's
horses.
So normal.
Yeah.
It's a different crowd.
There's obviously people that are wealthy,
right?
And there's people that are just work their ass off.
Normal people, and
the normal people are the fun ones to talk to.
Yeah.
Oh, well, and that's where you're gonna find a lot of your mentorship.
Yeah.
In all honesty,
because the rich people, they're paying someone to do their work. They don't know.
Yeah.
That knowledge is priceless.
We'll try to do some sort of a mentorship on
we
it.
We need to.
I think when you're a new person, it's who should you talk to? I was just.
You're scared to talk to these people because
like, you don't want to sound like an idiot and you don't want to waste their time.
Right.
But even just talking to Evan today about, you know, he's working for Werner and, you know, just coming in as a new manager and having to explain, hey, you've kind of maybe went down the wrong road a little bit. We got to change a few things.
Yeah.
Because I hate to say it, but I do think some people prey on the new ones.
Oh,
they
for
see
sure.
They see you and go, okay, how much money?
Yeah.
How much money?
All and then day, all of every a sudden, day.
And then all of a sudden you're like, I am so much money in, and I have this really successful business, and I'm just going to choose the business, and I'm going to let the horses go because you've made this so I can't keep going.
People that are selling horses and the help, both alone, ruin it. They both get a little. They get a little. They see the dollars and they quit thinking about why they're getting cash and why they're getting checks.
They're not always thinking about your future. They're thinking about their short term gain.
Yeah,
right.
But life's a long term game. You take care of the people that take care of you, you're always going to have a job.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, and we've talked to more long term breeders who've had, the few people that we've talked to, they've had some rough starts like you have, and it is all about finding the right people.
But it's cool to see, like, you bought your first two horses. One of them you had to do a C-section on. The other one was foundered and had some issues going on, and then she had a weight issue. You couldn't figure out why she was losing weight. But you guys still kept going. Like,
I
that
still
didn't
had
defeat
faith,
you.
Yeah.
Right.
Because then I got my Hannah Mayer, which was a Boulder Bluff, and she's been a, like, walk in the park. And I'm like...
Until Georgia this year.
Oh, my God. But we practice for that. Yeah. We practice the dog move.
So this year, this is amazing. So I found him some Shanahan harness out of Colorado. Curtis Bridges had it.
Brand new, beautiful.
It was never on a horse, I don't believe.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Anyway, Mike Loveland brings it down there. We're unloading it. Mike's like, it's gorgeous harness. We pull it out, and it is pristine.
Yeah.
10 out of 10.
Yeah.
Yes.
So anyway, first day, Michelle goes in there. She does good, all that. She drives the gelding, I think, and then it was back to Hannah the one.
It was back to Hannah. And Hannah did good that Friday.
She did great the first day.
Yeah.
So anyway, we hook Hannah up, all ready to go in.
Saturday.
We're in the middle aisle of Perry, and it's a big open aisle where everyone stores their carts and stuff. So we got her hooked. The floor is a little slick there.
Yeah,
but she was fine. So I was like, all right, we can move up to the warm-up ring. So Michelle asked her to move up. She literally just poof, tips right over. She's laying back.
On her back, all 4 feet in the air.
Like a dog.
Like a dog. Like she wants her belly rubbed.
Didn't move.
On her collar, hames, all of it. She's
Michelle
just
jumped
laying
out
there.
Of the cart, and she's just laying there.
Because everybody's like freaking out. I'm like, no, don't cut any harness, nothing.
No.
It's fine. She's fine. Mm. And as soon as you pull the cart out, she just gets right up, just like nothing.
She didn't even fight. Like, she's laying on her back.
No, she just lays there.
Literally, she's resting on the hames on the concrete.
Just like a dog.
Yes.
Yeah.
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 All 4 feet hanging in the air. She didn't throw a foot, nothing.
Nothing.
So we unhooked her
and she
popped
right
up. We're good to go.
Yeah. She does it at home. She does that at home.
She's just... Like
she had a quad attack.
She's great when we drove her before the show, and she was great the day of the show. And that just like flipped over
out of nowhere. Yeah. Kale looks at me and he says, "Well, go get the other harness." I'm like, "Hell no,
we're done."
So
I took that little bitch out in the parking lot, and we line drove her for a couple, I don't know, 25 minutes or whatever. And
but
she did great after that. But it's like she's not gonna get away with that.
No, that's the biggest thing. Yeah. But I like how you said Clyde attack, boy. That. Term is
it does happen.
Yeah,
it does happen. And we've all seen it, and we're like, "There's no other explanation." Yeah.
But it was the cutest little attack because she just
and everybody asked. Everybody was like, "Did you get a picture?" I'm like, "Heck no! Why would I get a picture of that?"
She's doing the wrong thing.
Michelle would have.
Yeah, Michelle would have. Yeah.
She asked me.
Yeah,
she asked me, and was it Cody Woodbury? When he the judge?
Oh, Cody Berry.
Cody Berry.
Yeah.
So Cody Berry was sitting up on the stand, and he said. He was like, in a couple of years, when her foot gets a little bigger, she's going to be a force to be reckoned with. I said, I hear you.
But she's how old?
Like 14. I said,
she's got a really sound foot, but it's just more of, how they have more of that vertical foot?
Yep.
It's just not that big sprawling foot. It's just more of a vertical. But those horses last forever because they have that depth of soul.
They're hardy.
Yeah.
She's a thick girl.
Yeah.
No.
And you don't have to feed her a lot.
Nope.
She's thick.
Yeah. But it is cool to see kind of your evolution, see kind of what your trials and tribulations and you still haven't given.
And you know what you like and you learn what you like and you know And then you meet your breeder and you find out how cool they are. That makes it even better.
Yeah.
That so makes it even better.
Funny, we interviewed Michelle, and she's obviously a fan of Freeman, and these are some Gord lovers here.
I know.
Yeah.
Everybody's got their favorite
and
people.
We're going to interview Gord.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I, you know.
They've been good to you. They've sold you some good horses.
Yeah.
You've got a good rapport with them.
So I got Hank from him. I got Nash from him. I got Laddie from him.
Mm-hmm.
I've got some really good horses from him.
But and now I that can't you look at them, you look back and then you say, I told her, like last year at the sale, I'm like, I like the Boulder Bluff bloodline. That's what I like.
But even this year, every purchase you've made, like Lad's a very attractive horse, but every purchase you've made, like you've made better purchases and better purchases. And but like you're climbing, like the horses you're progressing in your career. You're buying some better stuff. And those other horses, like we've all been there where those, like they've built you, like they've made you a better driver, mm-hmm. or they've tested your patience and you can handle more and you can take on more. Like Diamond, you bought from Stahlheim's, and he's kind of an edgy horse. Like Andrew struggled to get him shown in some halter classes. Like he's just got nervy, edgy horse, but he did great in Georgia. But you were finally at the point where you were ready for a horse that could be like that, and that doesn't intimidate you.
No.
So every horse that you've purchased has made you to where you are now.
Right.
And I think you're just touching the surface, because I think the future's endless.
Well, and I think like, so I can like message Kale and I'm like, hey, what do you think of this horse? And he was like, oh yeah.
Well, and the thing is, if you don't want to buy a horse, Kale's the one to go look at it, because he'll find something wrong with it.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
If he says go buy it, then you better go buy it, because.
Well, I was just like Diamond. I was like, oh, just go buy the horse. Like he's gonna be the right horse, and he's a rock solid horse. And
if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have had anything to show in Perry.
Yeah. No, he did. Yeah, he was.
He was my rock star.
Well, Lad still did good in the line class.
Yeah, but I wouldn't have had anything to drive.
All American, you know.
I know, but driving's a little more fun.
I know.
Yeah, but you did a good job with Hannah the first day.
Yeah, until she flipped over.
Yeah. But she's retired.
Yeah, she's done.
Yeah.
It was good until it wasn't good.
Yeah. Right? But now they got geldings to focus on, and they got some more horsepower and some younger talent, and it's time for them to step up, and she can take a back seat. But
yeah.
This has been cool. Well, give us a shout out to your business. How do they find out more about A1 Transmission? You're on social media. Give out your website.
Any social media, A1TransGA.com, A1Trans of GA on social media, Facebook, and
Instagram.
Instagram, same thing.
Even if you're not a transmission person, you got to go check out his social media. There's some really cool. She was showing me some really cool just videos and different things.
Yeah.
We try to educate people a little bit about what they're spending their money for.
Yeah.
Yeah. And why not work within the horse industry where you can trust the person's not going to take advantage of it? I can attest to both Chris and Michelle. They're good, honest, straight up people. And everybody that's going to be listening to this podcast has got a diesel truck. So if you even have questions about a transmission, give Chris a call. What's your phone number?
762-847-7170.
Awesome. Thanks again, guys. It's been great.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.